Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen loaded with top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. Perch has been my go-to showroom for design projects for years. Their knowledgeable staff is an extension of my design business, providing me with up-to-the-minute product information and continued education, making me a better resource to my clients. Visit Perch.com for more details on how Perch can help you elevate your next design project. Today, we welcome Jenny and Brooks Crawford of Brookside Design in Carlsbad, California. This husband and wife team turned their mutual love and respect for the outdoors into a mission to extend comfort and design beyond the carpeted area. In this episode, we talk about the evolution of their multifaceted design business, how interior design drives their vision, and the delicate daily balance of marriage and business. Let's get started. Welcome, guys, to the podcast. I'm so glad to be here in beautiful Carlsbad with you to talk business of design.
Thank you for having us.
Let's start by talking a little bit about your business.
Cool. Well, we are landscape designers, and I am Brooks, principal designer.
And I'm Jenny, and we're a husband and wife team. I do exterior decor, and I also help with social media strategy.
Cool. And then, Brooks, what is your specialty? You do all the heavy lifting?
Lately, we've been saying that I design your built elements.
Okay.
So your barbecue and your hardscape, the woodwork, anything like that. That's really my specialty.
Right. So the two of you have an interesting synergy in that there's a, you know, you kind of share the responsibilities of design, but then you obviously collaborate as well. And each of you brings something unique to the table, and together you're able to deliver incredible spaces, it sounds like.
Yes, that's correct. We co-design a lot of the horticulture, so the plantscapes and all that. And so every bit of work that Brooks works on has kind of a second layer of critique or kind of analysis on my part. And then he also has those final kind of decisions and touches on my mood boards and all the exterior decor elements. So
it sounds like as you developed your business model, you went beyond a typical scope of a landscape design firm and incorporated more of an interior approach to exterior spaces, a more finished approach. Tell us a little bit about that and what prompted you to kind of, you know, really embrace the entire space, not just specifically the landscaping.
Yes, as far as the exterior design goes, we really wanted to envision landscape design as a more holistic trade, mm-hmm. and something that isn't just, you know, kind of cherry picking certain elements, like we need a new barbecue or we want a patio cover. We really see exterior spaces as a whole, and everything really needs to come together, and that has to include the hardscape, the softscape, which are all the plantings, and then all the final touches.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it's been a real journey because I had been doing the same practice the same way for 5 straight years. And when we started our company this year, Jenny just slowly more and more was involved with the critiquing and the editing and the asking why. Mm-hmm. Why do we do this? And why can't this be that way? And just that was a growth process.
Right.
But in all the best kind of ways.
That's a good approach, though. It's like, just ask yourself why. Why can't it be more? And let's explore that and let's make it happen. Let's take it to the next level.
I'd frequently find I would finish a design. She'd look at it and say, well, that's not going to be big enough for this type of chair.
Uh-huh.
And that's not going to accommodate a 120-inch outdoor dining table. That needs to be longer and narrower right there.
Right.
And so her decor piece has informed my portion of the design more than I ever could have imagined.
I think that's actually quite brilliant, because as important as outdoor spaces are, especially in Southern California, I think it's critical to take all things into consideration, like dining or living or however you're going to use that outside space, so that it influences the hardscape and, you know, the things that can't easily be changed to accommodate a longer table or more seating. So taking all of that into account in advance is key, right?
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah, the functionality of the space really has to come first, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's making it look beautiful after that.
Right, right. So I would imagine that with your business model, you guys probably, do you collaborate a lot with interior designers, or do you find yourself being like the go-to person with an emphasis on outdoor spaces, or is it a combination of both?
Actually, so many, many projects or clients that I had worked with, they had told me, oh, we contacted our interior designer to get advice on this space.
Right.
And frequently we're not hearing back uh-huh. from the very interior designer that worked on their home. And so just this drove the dialogue between us about, well, maybe we need to be the exterior designers, because clearly interior designers aren't interested in helping out with this piece.
Right.
So we don't interact with a lot of interior decorators at this time.
Interesting. I would imagine maybe some interior designers shy away from exterior, but most designers that I know like collaborating with the landscape designers on the exterior spaces. So I think it's a great collaboration. And we talk a lot about synergy on this podcast. I've talked about client synergy with architects and designers and builders. And now with landscape designers, I'm glad we're able to bring that other component into the mix. What is your level of interaction with builders and architects? Do you work on a lot of new construction, or is it kind of a combination of new construction and remodel?
I think a lot of the money being pumped into landscape renovations right now are remodels.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, we are interfacing with interior designers even less on a big high profile project, like a ground up build. Yeah, like every decision we do is juxtaposed with the interior design decisions. And that's fun and exciting. That's just not the bulk of our work. Usually everything's established inside. Right. We use that to learn about their style.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny's amazing at this, at walking the space and sensing their artwork and their material selections and their furniture layouts. And that informs our planning for their outdoor space a lot.
Right.
So many times when we come to a project, they've already worked with an interior designer and they've kind of put the bow on their interior work, and now they're ready to start, you know, the exterior work. And so it's like, okay, here's what this person did in the inside, and how can we make the outside look just as great? And so then that's where I kind of go into my deep dive, and I really do a lot of research on the interior designer to understand, you know, who they are, what they did, why they did it, so that we can have a really cohesive look.
Right. Right. Jenny, what's your background? Did you go to design school? Did you study for this? Or is this just kind of something that you developed later on?
Yeah, so no, I didn't go to school for this. Mm-hmm. But my father was a landscape designer his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle owns a tree farm. My brother is a landscape designer. So everyone in my family kind of does this. And I've just had a lot of exposure to this industry throughout the years. So when I first moved to California, my first job was at a plant nursery, and I did that for 5 years, and I started as a cashier, and I worked my way up to the patio furniture department, and I was the head there. And so this was when Cimbrella had just come out.
Ooh. Yeah. Game changer.
Yes, it was a game changer, and it was a big deal. Selling a lot of cast aluminum furniture at the time, as uh-huh. you can imagine. But yeah, that was kind of my first exposure to outdoor furnishings and fabric selections, upholstery, all that. So just, you know, all the years experience with the plants and everything. And then I've had other jobs throughout the way. And in other ways, it's involved design and decor. I was a pawnbroker for 5 years, so I worked closely with a jewelry designer and mm-hmm. kind of got exposed to the different styles of jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
That's informed a lot of my design decisions as well. And then I worked as an early childhood educator, and my big piece there was designing exterior environments for classrooms.
Oh, wow.
That was kind of my little niche, my favorite thing to do. So I was really all about outdoor play and kind of figuring out how can we make a beautiful space that children will want to, you know, spend more time outside and garden and play outside.
Yeah. So you really have a very interactive approach to spaces, indoor and out, it sounds like, as far as like how they're being used and how they actually function.
Correct.
Which is super important to bring to the table. I mean, like I said earlier, it's important to maximize those spaces because it's how we live here.
It yep. is. And I want people to spend more time outside, you know, regardless of what their age, you know, and who they are. I think there's so many benefits of being outdoors, and especially now, you know, our lives are so digitized and everything is, you know, feels we're on screens all the time. And, you know, it's just so great to be able to just enjoy and kind of refresh your mind outside. And if I can create a space with Brooks that really makes that happen for people, it brings me a lot of joy.
Right. Play outside.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that before we hit record for the listeners, but I love the sound of kids playing outside, even though they usually kind of screw up my recording sessions from my home office. It's always with a smile. You know, I think it's great to hear people outdoors enjoying themselves and really, you know, I jokingly say that I don't typically leave the carpeted area, but I do appreciate the outdoors. I really do.
Yeah. And I'll say on the outdoors space design for children, Jenny's a master. And yeah. it's honestly something that even parents of children aren't even giving enough attention in their own backyard.
Oh, I'm
sure. They'll say, and this is an area where the kids can play. That's it.
Right.
Let's unpack that. That can be so many different things. What's going to make this sustainable? What's going to keep your kids coming back here?
Right.
It needs a climbing wall. It needs a place to hide, mm-hmm. place to be exposed, a place to be high. Jenny, what are the things it needs?
Well, it needs to be safe.
It needs to be safe. Yeah, it needs to be not too hot, not too cold, mm-hmm. safe from the sun.
Right.
There's a lot of things that go into it. It's very involved.
Yeah, you make a very good point. I mean, I don't have kids, but obviously if I was designing my outdoor space, it would be very different than what it is now. Just while you were talking, Brooks, I was envisioning my small outdoor space, and I'm like, yeah, that's a trip to the emergency room waiting to happen if I had kids. Yeah. So it would be a very different space.
And we work with a lot of families that do have children in this area, so that is something that we have to, we constantly are conscious of it, and mm-hmm. And it goes as, with the decor as well, because a lot of families, they don't want to invest, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in, you know, furniture that their kids are going to, you know, just get paint on or, mm-hmm. you know, put their dirty feet on, so, you know, their shoes and whatnot. So all of those design decisions are kind of really incorporated and really well thought out so that families feel like, you know, I can just kind of open up the back door, let the kids run out, do their thing, and I don't have to worry, but my space is still going to look really beautiful.
Right,
and I can, you know, bring my friends over and they're going to feel just as welcomed in this space.
Right. You know, Brooks, what is your background? What got you mixed up in design?
Sure. I was always a creative, artistic kid, so that's just in my blood. But I spent most of my professional career in hospitality. So I cut my teeth on learning how to work with people, you'd mm-hmm. say. But I studied architecture for 2 years in college. And so I saved my old journals because I was really proud of that time spent there, even though I changed majors.
Yeah.
And those journals are actually the thing that Jenny discovered that gave her the idea to join her father.
Ah.
And we got married, she's found the journals, and she said, my father needs a designer. And so we showed them to him, and she ultimately rescued me from the hospitality business. And
nice Juan, save.
Yeah, her father, who's a master and my mentor, he took all my artistic abilities and taught them how to use them to design a landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that redirection of my artistic abilities gave me something I'll be doing for the rest of my life.
Right.
So I kind of fell into it, I guess is the short answer.
That's awesome, though. What a great path to fall into, though, because it sounds like you guys are really enjoying yourselves.
Sometimes people say, you're a landscape designer, phenomenal. How do you get into that? I say, marry the daughter of a Cuban immigrant who did it for 40 years.
That's how I did it. Right? <Yeah. laughs> Everyone's story is unique and different, and that's why I like having these conversations with design professionals, because I think it's interesting to me, but it's also worth understanding for the listeners the various paths that kind of lead to design. There is no one path, kind of all roads lead to. And I love sharing that message. I love hearing that story.
Awesome.
You guys seem to have, when we spoke earlier, you seem to have kind of what I would call a misunderstood business model, because I think a lot of times when you introduce yourself to people and tell them what you do, it turns into, oh, hey, I need this patio cover, or hey, I've been looking for someone, you know, to like, you know, replant, you know, my rose garden or something like that. And you guys are really so much more. What do you do? What steps do you do in marketing and informing consumers as to what it is you truly bring to the table?
Yeah, this is one of the greatest challenges, because we really are finding that we have to educate consumers about what it is that we do. You know, like you said, a lot of people just think, you know, oh, well, you're doing the maintenance component. I think that's what the majority of people think. And we don't have a maintenance division. It's actually not something that we do. It's super important, and it obviously has to get done to maintain yards and make them look beautiful. Mm-hmm. But we are about the kind of full space transformation from the get-go. And we are really working hard on like Instagram to show people, you know, what that looks like. And we just recently started a blog, and I'm hoping to do more education on that part through the website YouTube channel, so that, you know, people can really understand what this whole thing encompasses. And then when we meet our clients, and Brooks has been helping out with this a lot, is just kind of having those conversations about budgets right from the get-go with them, letting them know that a percentage of the overall budget has to be allotted to exterior decor.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this when you were on the way in. It's like, well, you know, what is our elevator pitch for incorporating more decor into the landscape design process? And I'm a convert, 100%. Before a year ago, there was 0% for decor, and 75% for hardscape, 25% for plants. Right. I mean, that's how people are wired to think automatically. And now I believe in an 80-20 rule. If someone has $100,000, we want you to save $20,000 of it so we can make it look magazine worthy, which are those things we have to teach people. They're showing us these images, and they're not even realizing you're looking at the decor. Mm-hmm. You're looking at the finishing pieces.
Yeah.
So give us 20% of the budget, we'll make 80% of the impact with it.
That's a good point. There's a lot of things contributing to that finished look that maybe a lot of people tend to overlook.
Yep,
that's right. And they're showing us these images from Pinterest and Houzz, and we want this, but then they're forgetting on the back end that that takes, you know, you need to spend the money on this dining room table and on this pendant light and on these chairs and on these toss pillows. So you have to allocate some of that budget right from the beginning. And so it's kind of making sure that the clients that we're choosing understand that they value design and that they're kind of all in on this approach with us.
Yeah.
One thing that got us thinking about this is you can divide the process if you want to, meaning, you know, some people are going to say, no, we want to design the decor ourselves, and that's fine.
Right.
We got this idea to help people because we kept seeing projects not decorated appropriately.
Yeah.
And you can divide the process if you want to, or work with us, because the hardscape design does speak to the sofa selection.
Oh yeah.
And the color of that throw does speak to the tile we're going to do on your shower.
Mm-hmm.
So really, the more that we can get people to integrate their thought process about this, the more success they're going to have.
Yeah.
We tell people, this is for you. This is something that you should take very seriously.
And interior designers face that same challenge. So we're definitely speaking the same language. You know, it's our accessory budget at the end of the install that we're constantly fighting for, and we're constantly trying to convince the client, listen, you're not going to have that beautiful finished look that we've all envisioned from the beginning unless you let us do these finishing touches. Otherwise, the whole design is just going to fall flat. So I totally get it.
Yeah, and you know what was happening, Rick? When we first started the company, we were going back to jobs that had been completed and to do the photo shoots.
Mm-hmm.
And we would show up and it was like, oh no, this junky furniture is here, and well, we can't take pictures of this and use this for the gram.
Right.
So okay, let's get all of this stuff out of the way. So we would literally show up to the client's house, move all of their furniture respectfully, uh-huh. and then bring in all of our own, you know, selections,
right.
stage it and style it. And they're like, oh my goodness, this is beautiful. We wish we had this from the get-go. why did we, like, why, can we get this?
Yes, so, you can.
And then that's where kind of the idea really sparked with me, like, wait a second, there's a niche here. People really want this turnkey look, and they're not able to achieve it on their own. And, you know, a lot of people working interior design, exterior is different as far as the fabric selections, the durability, the things, right? Exterior environments are so much more harsh. Things weather so much, you know, quickly. And it's so all these things have to go into the design decisions, and homeowners just, they don't know a lot about the durability of materials outside and what's going to work the best. And sometimes, you know, when the project's done, they just want to hurry up and get to Home Depot and just, you know, be done with it, grab, you know, the first table and chair they find and put it out there. And that's what we kept finding, and that they really actually did want to have a beautiful space out there. They just weren't able to curate and figure it out on their own.
And I think that's where informing and educating the client really comes in about the process, which it sounds like you guys are very active in doing, and I think it's very important. Let's talk about the synergy between the two of you. So I've never had a husband and wife team on the podcast, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit, how you guys work together, the pros and the cons. I mean, let's get real here. Sure. I'm sure that there's a lot of other design professionals out there that that are maybe a husband and wife team. And I also know firsthand that there are some design professionals out there who would very much like to bring their spouse into the mix for a whole bunch of different reasons. And they're probably wondering, well, what are some things I should prepare myself for? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it is definitely challenging. We have started marriage counseling. That happened.
In a good way.
In a good way.
But you realize really quickly the cracks and, you know, communication and all the little things just really rise to the surface when you're working together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And things that kind of could get brushed under, you know, before, it's like, oh, well, you know, now there's clients involved. And so everything gets, and financial security, and so everything gets heightened, and it's super challenging. So I think we've realized that we can't figure it out on our own. There's some tools and some communication skills that we could definitely improve on, and we're working on it.
Right.
And I think people sense the magic when Jenny and I show up together to work with people, and they realize they're not looking at a single person,
yeah,
like a one-man wolf pack that's going to be making all their decisions for them. When they know that there's going to be this dynamic tension, people are excited about it.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that's been speaking to me about working with Jenny, is this dynamic tension. It's us.
Uh-huh.
It's our relationship, our marriage. It's the underpinning of who we are together, our synergy.
Right.
That if that gets compromised, this all falls apart. But if that is really strong,
mm-hmm.
we can be as amazing as we can imagine ourselves to be.
Right. And as long as you project that to the client.
Sure.
Because the listeners can't see you, but I'm sitting right in front of you. Listeners, they're adorable. And I just feel like if you guys, you know, walked into my home and I was considering hiring you for a project, I would immediately feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be very well taken care of. Like, you guys, you just have this natural energy and synergy already. And I've just met you. And so, like I said, projecting that to the client, regardless of all of the outside contributing factors, which I'm sure could be a challenge. Like, the reality, I think, of working as a couple is, some days you guys aren't in tune and you still got to show up to that client meeting and you still have to show them that synergy that may not really be present underlying, but, you know, that's just part of the gig, right?
Yeah. You know, when we talked about bringing Jenny on when I was working with her father, and just the idea of it was terrifying, and I absolutely shut it down, which is a fact I actually forgot about.
Right.
Working together was actually thrust upon us.
Uh-huh.
It's not something we elected for.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it's good, because no one would choose to do this.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
And very rewarding.
Right.
So you get out what you put into it.
For sure.
And it's going to work in two ways for us. It'll build the business and the relationship at the same time. Like Jenny said, okay, it's been a pressure test. Every little loose area has been pressure tested. So it's been fun to work through those. We're hearing each other's critiques better, which has been a real learning curve.
I would struggle with that.
It's hard. You have a lot of pride in your work, right?
Of course.
Right. And when you're getting paid by an employer, it's way easier to hear a critique. But when you're equal partners in something, it is a little more challenging.
Yeah, that could ruin dinner.
Oh, oh dinner.
It has. And dessert.
That's great. So how do you guys shut it off? There's got to be a time when you're like, hey, listen, we need to shut this off. We need to enjoy each other. We need to just, you know, set work aside for a moment. I think every professional has that same challenge, and everybody has different solutions and approaches to that. What is your approach?
I'll jump in on this one. I mean, Jenny, when she flips that switch, mm-hmm. it is on, mm-hmm. and it's one of those really hard switches that takes multiple people to hang from to pull it down, like a Jurassic Park type of illustration. So turning it off is actually what we've been talking to our therapist about. Like, how do we do this?
Yeah.
We love our business. Mm-hmm. It's the most important thing in our life at this moment.
Right.
So shutting it off is going to be forced. Like, No, we have to do these things that are fun. We have to have fun today.
Yeah.
That's what we're working on.
Jenny, you're hardcore.
Say that.
Well, the truth is, this has really just kind of taken over our lives. And, you know, when you work, we work from home. So I think that's one thing that has definitely helped bring a little bit of balance. Now Brooks is doing a lot of work at coffee shops and co-working spaces. And that kind of gives us a little bit of separation so that we're not just sitting around designing in the same house and then critiquing our designs and then talking about, you know. So that's helped a lot. I think, you know, next year I'm going to be taking some salsa classes and introducing some hobbies and things to kind of work on that work-life balance.
Jenny, you make a good point, because in our industry, in the creative field, we are kind of all in on our work, on our careers, on our businesses, because we're so lucky to be in a field that we just absolutely love everything about. So we kind of don't want to turn it off. I think many creatives are faced with that. I know I am. So I'm glad that you said that. And it's interesting to hear, you know, your approach to that. And I'm also glad that you were honest and said, you know, listen, you know, we are working with a therapist to help us understand this. I think that's very proactive. And I think that probably just more people in general, but creatives as well, because we have our own struggles and mindset. I like that you brought that up, and I think it's a good message, because it's always good to be proactive about that. We don't have the answers for everything. We don't know everything. You can't know everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And being a designer, it tests you to your very core.
For sure.
People are looking for conviction, and conviction is not something that's easy to come by. If you're doubting yourself, if you're weak in some area of your life, it impacts your design abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So just finding that conviction and believing in each other's conviction and supporting each other's decisions and all these things. It's been a valuable spiritual journey.
To say the least, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So guys, let's talk a little bit about your secret to survival. What would you say that your secret to your survival in this industry is?
Yeah, from my perspective, it's really about honoring the workers,
mm-hmm.
you know, the contractors, the craftsmen, all the people that really help, you know, create the vision that we have and make it a reality. You know, every time I go to these job sites, I mean, it is hard to work outdoors. This is hard physical labor. They do it in the heat. They do it in the cold. They do it in the rain. And, you know, I would watch my father come home every day from this work. And every time I see these guys out there, it's, you know, it's like I see a little bit of my father. And so I have so much respect for what they do. And it's really, to me, about making sure that they always feel honored and that we put them first.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. Brooks, what would you say?
I mean, for me, it's about being humble and having some strong anchors. I mean, Jesus has been good to us this year. I have an amazing wife. She's been great to me this year. We have great people we collaborate with, and the industry's been great. Mm-hmm. So it's about taking less and giving more. You know, I don't own this. This was given to me. So my secret to survival is to stay humble and keep educating myself and give back in every way that I can to take myself out of the way of success.
Guys, what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then when you started this all?
I would say just take the leap, take the risk.
Yes.
I wish I had done this years ago, you know, because I grew up around it. And I think I always thought it was just a male-dominated profession and that, you know, maybe women didn't really have such a great role to play in landscape design growing up because everyone around me were all males that were doing it. And, you know, then as things in the design community have really opened up and things are changing and people are, you know, like this podcast, just helping other designers and really lifting everyone up regardless of what their background or gender or anything is. And feeling like, you know what, we can do this. We can take this on. Let's do it. What's the worst that can happen?
Right. I love that. Take that leap. Get out of your own way. I mean, I think that's a common message that so many people are sharing. And I think it's a great message.
For me, it's been kind of the defeating the autopilot, which to me is the enemy of design, specifically with plants. So I'm not a horticulturalist. And plants are very complicated.
Sure.
They all are extremely different with very unique personalities and behaviors and textures and colors. And Jenny has actually opened my mind up to so much more about thinking about how to think about plants. But I was always afraid of not making a good composition out of plants.
Right.
And I was always looking for the safe play many years ago. Like, you know, what is the predictable play? What won't die? What'll do well, and these kind of things. And now it's like, you know, blowing all that out, and you don't have that much to lose.
Yeah.
The traditional play is not doing anybody any favors. So as long as I'm trying as hard as I can for somebody, making an authentic creation for them, then there's less to lose than looking for the safe play.
No, that's awesome. I love that. It's thinking outside of the box. It's that whole, like, knowing the rules before you break them. And then once you know them, have at it.
Yeah.
Like, get out there and be different. That's really what sets you apart from everyone else. And I think a lot of creative professionals look at other people's work, not necessarily in comparison, but for inspiration, and realize, wow, you know, if I want to be that, if I want to be next level, I've got to step outside of this box. I've got to get out of my own way, and I've got to find my self-confidence and just go for it.
And I think the reason everybody can't do this is it takes guts.
For sure.
You want to get outside the box on somebody else's dime and time, and they're going to live with your decision. And not everybody can handle that.
It's a little
scary.
But those
of us that can, we get to do this.
That's why we don't sleep at night. Let's not kid ourselves. Guys, how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community? It's one of my favorite questions to ask, because as I further engage with design professionals like you guys, and everyone else who has contributed to the podcast, I love talking about how they give back, because that's kind of one of the underlying intents of this whole podcast and this platform that I've developed to grow community, is to explore and acknowledge how we as design professionals give back to the design community on a peer-to-peer basis, on a business-to-business basis. How would you say you guys do that?
Yeah, Rick, I love that this is a question you include in the podcast, because it is important to us. And personally, it's, you know, we've been given so much, and it's really important for us to give back. So ways we do that, there's an organization here, it's called Solutions for Change, and they help families transition out of homelessness. And these are families with children, and they kind of provide a full package. So they do, you know, they provide apartment housing, they provide resources, you know, education, all kinds of things, so that, you know, they can really kind of help these people get a leg up. And what we've been doing is donating plant materials and pots for the interior of these homes, which we actually found another interior designer that we followed was doing that. And she was looking for donations, and we thought, oh, this is such a cool idea, and how can we get, you know, involved more? And, you know, we like to have beautiful real life plants and pots in our home, and we want these this community to have that as well, and just have a beautiful space, you know, as they're really picking up the pieces and making meaningful changes in their life, to have a beautiful, you know, home. And if they have a balcony, we will also, you know, put plants and pots out there.
Oh, cool.
That's one thing we do. And also, because I was in the early childhood education field, really passionate about kind of introducing gardening and whatnot from an early age. So we always donate native milkweed plants. We just did a large donation to a few schools, but it's springtime, and if there's any schools in the area that, you know, anyone listening to this and has any ideas of how we can increase our outreach, we'd love that, because it's great for children to have the exposure at an early age to, you know, the beautiful nature, life cycle. They can see the butterflies. It's just such a great opportunity for children to begin to really love the outdoor environment.
That's wonderful. Do you want to add to that, Brooks?
Yeah. Onto hers or my own?
You can have your own answer if you'd like.
No, so knowing that you asked this question made me think about this question. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that I actually take a lot of pride in working with the guys and taking the design expertise that I've gleaned from my time, working with people better than me. And they're craftsmen. Mm-hmm. They're as excited about design as I am, we find out. So I really like going to them and discussing design details and why you do them. And what's funny is that's a skill that they own after that. They take your work and do it, and then they begin to be able to design. Mm-hmm. I see them making correct design decisions on jobs that I didn't have to tell them, which is exciting to me. That means they're not only builders, but they're designers now. Yeah. And if they want to be, they can be.
Yeah.
So that feels like a contribution back.
Oh, for sure.
Paying it forward in some way.
Yeah. And it feels good.
Yeah.
A lot of the workers too, you know, it's family. So it's their sons, and they're kind of testing it out to see if, you know, it's something they want to do. And so it's a great opportunity for them to learn skills that they can then use to start their own business in this trade, potentially.
And it's a lot like how we learned as well. So, like, we know firsthand that learning process is valuable and can lead to something very exciting. So it's a real opportunity.
As you know, they don't teach you in school that there's any money in contracting or any money in designing.
Right.
Or even better, being a designer who's a builder too. They don't teach you these things. So when I see the sons of workers on a job site, I try to look them in the eye and say, listen to me. You are not a laborer.
Right.
Pay very close attention and you can do this thing.
For sure.
You're 18 now. Go to MiraCosta. They have one of the best landscape architecture programs in the country right here in Oceanside, where you can get a certificate that even allows you to study and sit for the landscape architecture exam.
Right.
There's two community colleges in the nation that do that.
Right.
I think in the nation, maybe state.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big deal. So I encourage them, take this seriously. If you're looking for a profession and for an opportunity for upward mobility, you're already doing it.
It's so good that you're having that conversation with other creatives out there.
I'm not sure if it's landing, but I'm telling them.
You may be surprised.
Maybe.
You may be surprised, because I think
so.
We can all look back to a conversation that maybe didn't appear to have landed, but has really made an impact. And I know it takes time.
Yeah.
But I think we can all look back and recognize and acknowledge a time when someone told us something very much like that, that now, many years later, has really helped us. So I love the fact that you're having that conversation.
Awesome. Thank you.
So guys, how can the listeners learn more about you? How can they see some of your work on Instagram and maybe a website?
Sure. So our Instagram handle is @Brookside_design. Brookside is BROOKSIDE. And we have a website. It's designbybrookside.com.
Perfect.
Brookside Design was taken, so we called our tech buddy and said, what do we do here? And he said, how about Design by Brookside? And I said, yeah, we'll take it.
Well, thanks, guys. This has been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time. I can't wait to share with the listeners.
Thanks a million. Rick. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks,
you're
Rick.
Very welcome.
I love Jenny and Brooke's mission to get people outdoors. Nothing encourages outdoor living and entertaining more than a beautifully landscaped and expertly designed space. I was surprised to hear how common it is for them to work on outdoor spaces that were left out of the interior design process, but I was happy to hear how they respect professionally executed interior spaces and how they allow them to influence their vision and guide the outdoor design process. Hearing all of the many influences that drive landscape design, like safety, function, and sustainability, were a real eye-opener. hearing their project development process and client education efforts certainly resonate with the dialogue that interior design professionals are promoting today. I think it's really cool that they discovered their true passion together and created a thriving business from that. The path to business of design, while unique to everyone, seems to always have that common denominator of discovered creativity. I especially appreciate Jenny and Brooke's transparency when it comes to working together. You know, the luxury of doing what you love for a living and doing that with the person that you love most comes with challenges. What a great heads up for anyone who is considering bringing their spouse into the mix. It's a great thing, but be prepared to face new and unique challenges, none of which can't be overcome with support, communication, and a good old-fashioned date night. As we wrap up this episode, I want to share with you a very exciting program that we've developed that is getting ready to launch in just a few weeks. Join us this fall for a gathering of design visionaries and industry experts where we'll demonstrate the true meaning of community and how it's redefining the way interior design professionals are building stronger and more profitable businesses. As the business of design continues to evolve and prosper, so does the need for tools and resources that help designers explore and expand your business model. Design Biz Retreat has been specifically developed to deliver valuable business strategies to elevate your business in an environment that promotes vision, trust, and support. We couldn't think of a more appropriate and inspiring destination for this two-day experience than sunny Palm Springs, California. This iconic architecture and design destination offers the perfect balance of creative energy and peace of mind. We believe that your business is only as strong as your mindset, so we've incorporated wellness and personal development as principles of Design Biz Retreat. The most exciting component of this entire concept is the invaluable networking that will occur over the 2 days and nights that you spend among fellow design professionals from places near and far. Our goal is to establish a camaraderie among fellow attendees that will last a lifetime. What better place to expand your tribe than right here? This is for you. To learn more about Design Biz Retreat, visit our website and be sure to sign up for our email list. We'll be announcing all the details very, very soon. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, get out there and inspire.